One of the complications of breast cancer, and indeed melanoma and prostate cancer surgery, can be a disabling limb swelling called lymphedema. Associate Professor Catherine Schmitz is at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine in Philadelphia. She has focused on breast cancer and over the last few years has been busting a harmful myth.
Lymphedema is an abnormal accumulation of protein-rich fluid somewhere in the body. It generally shows up as swelling in the affected body part. And the thing that sets it apart from other types of edema or swelling is, in fact, that it is kind of a heavy fluid because it's full of protein.
And hard to shift once it's there.
Exactly.
And who's at particular risk?
Those who have had lymph nodes removed as part of their treatment and or radiation treatment. And radiation apparently is, no pun intended, kind of a slow burn. It seems to extend out into many years in terms of the increased risk for lymphedema.
And the mythology has been that women should really take care of that arm and not do anything too heavy because it might increase the swelling.
Exactly. And the problem with that is that when you don't exercise the damaged body system, it gets weaker.
So what did you do in this study?
It was actually a two-part study. So we've spoken before about part one. We recruited women who first had lymphedema, and now in the second part, women who were at risk for lymphedema. And in both parts of the study, we randomized those women to twice-weekly progressive resistance training or just watchful waiting over a year.
And just remind us what the findings were for the women with lymphedema that we spoke about before in the health report.
Exciting news that were published in the New England Journal of Medicine in August of 2009 was that twice weekly strength training in women who already had lymphedema reduced the likelihood of a flare-up of their condition that required medical treatment by half, which is a pretty remarkable finding. What's interesting, though, and was sort of less talked about probably at that time, is that we didn't actually end up having much of an effect on the swelling in those women. So the weight training did not reduce their swelling. It did reduce the likelihood that they would have worsening.
So you wondered then whether or not, in fact, the horse had bolted itself.
Exactly. But we went into the whole study with a primary aim on safety and saying that, you know, we wanted to simply show that it was safe for these women to do this type of exercise. And we were able to show that. So that was part one. This is part two, and what we did was we recruited 154 women who were at risk for breast cancer-related lymphedema and randomized them into twice-weekly strength training versus not and followed them over a year. There are two ways of reporting the findings. One way of reporting the findings is reporting for all of the women who participated, regardless of how high their risk of lymphedema was. And in those women, what we are able to conclude is, very much like for the women with lymphedema, we didn't do them any harm. We didn't also do them any particular good either. But the women who had five or more lymph nodes removed and thus were at increased risk for the development of lymphedema, we reduced the likelihood of onset of lymphedema by 70%. And so there should be some kind of program after women have had lymph nodes removed that would rehabilitate that arm in the same way that we do exercise training and cardiac rehabilitation after a heart attack.
So if a woman had had, which is a very common situation in Australia, what's called a sentinel node biopsy, so the lead node, just to do a test to see whether or not cancer had spread and therefore you needed more lymph nodes out or you were okay and no more dissection was required, what was the situation with them where there was just one node removed?
There are two things to say. One is that their risk of developing lymphedema is extraordinarily low. The second thing is that among those women who were in our study, we did not cause or prevent lymphedema in those low-risk women. And so they are perfectly safe to go ahead and start rebuilding their strength by doing weight training.
And so in summary then, the more lymph nodes that are removed in a woman, the more likely it is for weight training to actually prevent lymphedema occurring in the first place.
Exactly. So one thing to be aware of with sentinel lymph node biopsy as well, Norman, is that it is not uncommon for sentinel lymph node biopsies to fail. Fully one-third of Caucasian women in the United States present with high enough stage and grade of cancer that they require an axillary dissection, which is to say that sentinel node procedure is not an option for them. They have to have more nodes removed. then of the two-thirds that have an initial sentinel lymph node biopsy, something like half of those women end up having to go on to have additional surgery with additional lymph nodes removed. What you end up with is a situation where two-thirds of women find themselves in a situation where these findings are of particular relevance for them.
Now, this is not the only situation where lymphedema occurs. People who've had melanoma surgery, very common in Australia. Men who've had prostate cancer surgery can get it in their legs. What's the story here with weight training and active exercise? Do we know?
I have done a pilot study. We recruited 10 individuals who had lower extremity lymphedema secondary to cancer. We put them through a program that was very similar to what we did in the breast cancer survivors. It was a proof of concept study for us to show that it was safe for these folks to do this in order to do a larger trial. The good news was simply that we did not make any swelling worse. The bad news is that 2 of the 10 individuals in the study had a flare-up that required intensive treatment and a cellulitic infection, which required antibiotics while they were doing the study. It was an uncontrolled pilot, and so I cannot tell you whether that would have been different than what we would have seen in the control group, but 20% was a high enough finding that we were concerned about. We do not feel that it is appropriate at this time to conclude that we can translate these findings to the lower extremity without further research.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much. It's a delight to talk to you again, Norman.
Associate Professor Catherine Schmitz is in the Biostatistics and Epidemiology Department at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine in Philadelphia.